there. So that's the stack Minerva, you're up.
Okay, thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Jerry, for the invite to assist with the upcoming fund drive. Is there the possibility that something can be put together where people would be able to identify the times that you're needing people? And also, I have said this with each fund drive, is there room at the table in your planning for it either to be someone from our development committee or someone from this board to sit down so we have a real insight so we can then figure out how we can marry what we would be able to do to assist with the fund drive and making it a very exciting event. So that, you know, and I'm offering that again, but we do need some kind of chart or some kind of idea of when you're going to need people and a little bit more
Okay.
information about what's going on with the drives. Thank you.
And
Okay, the
just
answer to
let
both is
people have,
yes.
and I second the notion of having the representative of the development committee take that on. I think that's a great idea, Minerva. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for that. And then, yes, we have a crude grid that we've established for volunteers, and we'll just have to
In
refine
fact,
that grid and get it out to people so people can understand what areas we will, when and where we'll need the help. We'll get that grid to you.
okay,
1 minute on this agenda item, Chair. One
okay, we
minute on
got
this
we'll,
agenda item.
okay, we'll go, thanks, we'll go through the three people and then we'll cut it. Thanks. Eddie.
Hi, thanks, Jerry, for that report. I'm wondering, and this is, you know, just pie in the sky, but I'm wondering if it's possible to kind of split the difference in terms of the expensive answering service and the number of volunteers you can have. There is some routing software that political organizations use and labor unions use to be able to route calls, so folks can pick them up remotely. And, you know, this has kind of become the way that a lot of political organizing is done. And I don't know how expensive it is. I don't know if it would be too chaotic to you know, to arrange, but it's just a thought.
I'm very interested in the routing software. We have a limited degree of routing with our phone services as it is, but we can use more software. And if you could get that over to me somehow, I'd very much
Yeah,
appreciate
I'll
it.
check it out. I'll check it out. I'll ask some folks who work in those spheres what they used.
Okay, and we are looking at splitting the difference also, seeing where we might be able to use the phone service in limited ways, save some money, and
Right.
not use them where we have our own coverage. We're
In
looking at
second.
that also.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Eddie. Ambrose.
Yes, 2 points I'd like to make. First, in terms of the liability insurance, you should be able to, my organization gets liability insurance when I do an event. And this could be considered an event. So if you're talking about liability insurance, during a pledge drive, you get insurance just for the pledge drive so that people can come to the building. So that would be what I would expect. So that means that the next time would be February 11th, if you started then through March 2nd, and you get liability insurance just for that time period. The second thing, Jerry, I'd like to, if you can provide, either to me or to the LSB, you mentioned about off-air fundraising snacks, and I'd like to be able to see if I can help in that regard. Can you provide me a list of all of the off-air fundraising efforts and where you are getting the snacks? You mentioned the Prince Hall not available. Is it a matter of getting a different space, or are there other off-air, just to have a list of all of the off-air fundraising efforts would be able to, I can see where I can plug in and try.
Yeah,
You mean some of
we'll set up a
the events
dialogue.
that are being considered and so that we could look at sites for the various events?
Well, that would be just one thing, but just get a list of all of the
Okay.
efforts that are off-air.
Okay.
Yes, I can do that for you. Let's make sure that we have a dialogue this week.
10 seconds.
Because it's not a lot of
Okay.
venues. It's the major venues in town that we have attempted to produce events with. So you and I, Ambrose, will talk, and then we'll share the information to the board and to the committees.
This is Dawn. I move that we extend this time to the stack. Is that possible? Just to finish the stack.
We're going to. We're okay. Right in the last person. Come on. Thank you.
So, Jerry, extending the question of off-air fundraising. Yes. Just come on. Go ahead.
All right. Two questions. You mentioned earlier that there is a quote unquote standard tally system, that $15,000 came through the standard tally system. What is the standard tally system? What is that? How would one go outside of that?
Okay. No. It was $15,000 that was not reported within the standard tally system. And that was what I brought up as a puzzle piece that you did not have when we had the finance committee meeting. Whenever we have a pledge drive, all of the staff and almost all of the programmers look at the pledge drive tally page. It is near real-time reporting, show by show, how the drive is doing. There are certain things that don't appear on that tally, i.e. Cash App, PayPal. Those are independent streams that don't go into the pledge drive system. The pledge drive system looks at pledges that come in through the phone calls, pledges that come in through the credit cards, all the pledges that come into the shows by way of what we loosely call Otis's. And Otis McClay, he's our Pacifica IT director. He wrote the software, and that is the tally. And once you get access to the page, you'll see it clearly. It's a representation of how we're doing in near real time. But again, it omits other income streams outside of it, the PayPal, Cash App, and other income that comes into the station, the mail-ins, et cetera.
Was that the question, Kamal?
Just a quick follow. The $15,000 you're saying came in during the pledge drive outside of the tally system. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, exactly.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Now we move on to the next item. Katia, are you here? Anyone see Katia on the screen?
I'm sorry, I couldn't get off of, can you all hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah,
still 10 hear minutes, me?
Go ahead. Yep.
All right, can you still hear me? Okay, I'm in the car, I'm sorry. I've been at the South African Embassy. As you all know, tomorrow the ICC starts with the South Africans bringing the case of genocide, and they had a big rally here, and I was actually capturing sound because WBAI and WPFW are going to create a program. We will record because it's 3 a.m, the hearings at the ICC, and then we will mix that with the interviews captured tonight for a special program that we may air on MLK Day, but certainly next week we'll air. At least WPFW and WBAI, if not all of the stations. I think the things that I want to report on the most are, and people probably have the most questions about, are the program changes that have occurred. So we have Andy Shalal, and forgive me, I don't think I mentioned this the last time I was, I know we talked about it a little bit in a programming committee meeting, but I don't think I've ever mentioned it on the full board meeting. So we have Andy Shalal is back. Some of you may have remembered him from the 9 a.m. hour on Mondays with Business Matters. And then afterwards, Julianne Malveaux joined him for a while, and then Julianne took the show. Well, he is back with a new show called Next Up to the Mic, where he interviews all sorts of people, often mirroring who comes to Busboys. So they can be authors, writers, poets, musicians, painters, whatever, politicians, of course, activists. And lately, his first three shows or so have been really centered on Gaza. He had Brian Becker on yesterday, who is one of the organizers with Answer Coalition for the big march that'll happen on Saturday. And by the way, at least WPFW and WBAI will be carrying the March for Gaza from noon until 2 p.m. And we have pitched it to the rest of the network. I know that KPFK is interested, and possibly KPFT. We haven't heard back from KPFA, but all that kind of came together today. So Andy's show airs on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. following Margaret Prescott. And then right after that is another new show that really is all about Palestine. And it's called the Miko Peled Hour. Miko Peled is, many of you might know that he is also an activist. He is Israeli. His son was, his father was a general in the Israeli army, very high up. He became a pro-Palestinian activist. And so his show is about all things Palestine. And he comes on at 7 p.m. following Andy's show. And then we debuted on Friday a new show with Jackie Lukman and Sean Blackman. You all might know them because they did By Any Means Necessary on Sputnik Radio. When they started speaking out about Palestine, Sputnik let them go. I talked to them because they're excellent hosts, they're excellent journalists, about coming to PFW. So they are now doing a show called Darker Than Blue. That airs at 5 o'clock on Fridays, right before Garland Nixon. And then finally, in terms of programming changes, Willard Jenkins was chosen to move to Sundays. We had, since Donnie's passing, we had a group of, we had a group of programmers who were all kind of auditioning, if you will. Some were not. Tim Masters, for instance, I asked him first if he wanted the slot, because originally when he came to PFW, Donnie took the slot that Tim had when Tim moved. I'm sorry?
It's okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry? Okay.
Thanks, Kamau. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Kamau. I'm sorry. I'll be real quick. So anyway, Willard is doing a program now called Open Sky on Sundays from 2 until 4 p.m. following Miyuki. And Jordan Strudwick, who is a young person, and we have to shout out Miyuki for finding him, somehow discovering him. He is an incredible talent. She trained him. She's trained other young people to join us. But Jordan is really a gem. He's subbed several times for Miyuki. He's done Donnie's show. He's done a bunch of shows. He is now taking Willard's slot on a show that he is calling Blue Notes. And he's a very thoughtful programmer. He's really a curator of music, and he's a young person, which is desperately what we need in the building. The last thing I'll say is I spoke to Lynn Dyson this morning, and we will be partnering with him on every year, multimedia, I forget his, the name of his organization, but they do a play. Last year it was, Shirley Chisholm. This year it's Zora Neale Hurston. And they have offered WPFW a WPFW night where we could use it as a fundraiser. I am working with him on the promotional part, and Sataria will be working on the development part of the fundraiser, but that will happen sometime in February. So that is, I'll leave it there, and you all can ask me questions. Since I have, I know I heard 1 minute, so it's probably like 15 seconds now, so I'll just leave it there.
Okay, thanks, Katia.
Okay, thank you, Dennis.
We will make time for a few questions if we have some.
Okay.
Minerva.
Yes, good evening, yes, Katia.
Hi, Minerva.
Let me ask, Don. I think it's great that you mentioned a program for Palestine. And the musical program, but what is it that can be done for the different communities that make up the DMV? We did have the one program that was on for Maryland, Progressive Maryland. So how do those individuals get their message forward to be considered to be on air? So I'll stop talking. I'll let you answer that, please.
Okay, well, all organizations, like just like Metro, like just like Lynn Dyson's organization or any organization, they are welcome to come on our air. They're welcome to be guests. We have many programs, frankly, that do cover Maryland, Virginia, DC, of course, and even beyond that, you know, so we already have programs that cover that information, and we will continue to cover that information. And, Larry Stafford and others, who is with Progressive Maryland, I've talked to him, and, I told him anytime they are welcome on our air, we will schedule interviews. They can do specials. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Okay. Okay, and Patia, what I'm looking for is not for them to come on to be just guests. I'm looking for the ability for those individuals that live in Maryland to know that on a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, they can dial in to the station and hear what's going on in the community, like to do different things. That's what I'm looking for. So
yeah, I don't think we will have that because, you know, let's face it, we don't have it for Virginia, for instance. We don't have it for communities that are more outlying in both Virginia and Maryland. Like we could go up to Frederick, we could go to various communities. But as I told Larry, who is the producer of that show, that we are open and welcome him and his team to do specials. Like if there's something that's happening in Maryland, right, that's really a big hot button topic that we want to cover, then we can set aside time for them to produce a special on that.
All right.
Okay. So then if we do a survey to the community to see what they want, would that be feasible?
A survey is something else. I don't think it would
I think we should continue this conversation in the program committee.
Thank you, Dennis. I'm sorry. That's what we'll do. Thank you.
All right. We have, Mariah, Vanessa on the stack. Tony was on there. But that would be the end of the stack. 90 seconds each, please. Mariah, proceed. Is everybody else hearing feedback from me?
Yes.
I don't. Okay. I'll try turning off.
I don't hear feedback. Is the feedback coming from me?
No, it's not from you.
Okay. Cause I don't hear feedback from you, Dennis.
If you're on your phone and the computer, then you need to move away from it.
Or just mute if you're not. If you're not.
Okay. No one needs to mute.
Well, I will. Mariah, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Tia. I just had a really quick question.
I'm sorry, Mariah, you broke up a little bit. Can you restate the beginning of your question?
Yeah, and I'm still getting it.
Are you getting feedback from me?
Maybe.
That's what we're hearing.
Getting feedback.
Ourselves.
Okay.
Okay. Is that better? That's better. Great. Okay. Here we go. Thank you for your report, Katia. I love all that's happening in the new programming. Just a quick question. If you could send any information, regarding the march and where you all are meeting at noon, to anyone else or the LSB members so we can also attend, that would be great. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Mariah. Vanessa.
Hey there. So I have a cold today or something, so my voice is not strong, so I will really be brief. And I just wanted to say, Katia, the programming changes sound very strong. I'm so glad to hear that Andy Shalal is coming back. I'm familiar with Jackie Lukman. We both attend the same church, and I'm familiar with her outstanding journalism experience. And also the young man, I think you said his name is Joshua, the one who was subbing for Miyuki.
Jordan.
Yeah, I heard him several times while he was subbing for Miyuki, and he's just a young genius. So I'm so glad that he'll be added to the programming lineup. Thank you.
Okay. Ellen?
Yes?
Your hand is up. Ellen? Oh, you just muted. Okay, Tony, you go ahead. Okay, wait a minute. Ellen, did you have something to say?
No, I was just telling you that when my hand was up, it was because there was a problem with the sound, and there's okay now. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, Tony, last comment on the program director report.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Katia. I've heard some of the new programs, and they sound great. But, you know, the programs that they replaced.
I'm sorry. Wait. I'm sorry, Tony. My phone died, so I didn't hear anything. Mariah was in the middle of her question, and then my phone died because I've been using it for interviews.
Okay. Tony just started.
Yeah, okay. But Mariah, didn't Mariah have a question for me?
Oh, yes. She wanted you to send the information about the march to the board so that people can attend.
You're talking about the March for Gaza on Saturday?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, I can send the flyer. I'll send it to Ellen, and is it okay if Ellen then sends it out?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Okay, Tony, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was saying that the new programs sound great. I've heard a few of them. But the programs that they replaced also sound great. I got some good information from them. And I would assume that other people who live in Maryland also, receive pertinent information. The Maryland show specifically, because that's the first show that I've ever heard on the air that covers specifically Maryland issues. And it would be great to have one, Virginia show too, maybe in the future, but that Maryland show was very relevant. And so, I'm wondering, what your decision process was for, changing these shows, and is there any collaboration taking place, with the LSB and those decisions?
Well, first of all, I collaborated with Jerry. We had a long talk about them, and he gave me permission as GM to do that. So that's the first part. To your point, Minerva's point, we can certainly looking at a show. If you remember, we used to have a show that covered just DC. Just DC politics. I would suggest in terms of shows that cover regional areas, that we look at maybe having a show that covers all three areas, the DMV.
But Tony, your suggestion is well taken.
Collaboration with the LSB.
I have never, in my tenure, when I have had shows come on, I have shared with the LSB what I was doing. But I don't know what you mean by collaboration, because as I understand it, I understand that the programs that go on the air ultimately are the responsibility of the program director in collaboration with the general manager that sanctions everything, which is what I did.
Which is correct. We're open to suggestions, which is what we're in the process of right now.
All right. Okay. So thank you. Okay, here's the other thing that I want to say, that once we have, now that we have the community advisory board in place, one of their requirements, which is also a station requirement, the station will annually produce a report outlining and explaining the program vision and goals. So all that rationale should be included in that, and that is something that the community advisory board is empowered to look at and report on.
Dennis, could I just add to that? Yes, the community, yes. The last community advisory board also did, Minerva mentioned a survey. That is actually what the community advisory board does. They did a survey for us. It was several years ago, but it was very helpful. I mean, it was long, you know, the last time we had a active community advisory board.
Yep. And I believe that they are actively considering that again. Thank you.
Great.
Okay. We're going to move on to the next segment. Is Miyuki here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Miyuki, you would ask for about 5 minutes to address what's happening with the, through the station development, efforts.
Thank you. And thank you for making an official position for, Sataria to make this report on a monthly basis. She was supposed to do this today, but unfortunately had an emergency. So I'm stepping in. I'll give you as much information as I have. She may have more later on. As Jerry indicated, the spreadsheet total that came from Otis's report was $111,880. Our Cash App was at $14,712, making for a total of hard copy money, $126,592. Checks are coming in daily. Checks also go directly to, if people use our PO box, it goes directly to the bank and is, deposited right away. So that's still coming in to the tune of over $25,000 so far. So we're about at $150,000. Before the drive started, Jerry gave me a spreadsheet indicating how much money we needed. And, we were at $300,000, including things like payroll, healthcare insurance, rent, paying the phone, services. Jerry assured me those are the first things that he took care of as soon as money came in. So at least of the over $300,000 we owed, we paid about half of that. I don't know where we are now. I haven't gotten the accounting for the specific amount of dollars that have come in, but right now, at least we were able to pay for half of what was outstanding, which was over $300,000. So we're up to paying up to at least half. The goal for the drive was aspirational, as Jerry said, because we wanted $200,000. The deal was if we reached $200,000, that we would be able to cut off a week of the winter drive coming up. Instead of 3 week drive, we'd go down to a 2 week drive. That's not going to be possible because we didn't get to the $200,000 goal. When I first started with WPFW, we had, maybe three or four drives a year and they all a week. They've expanded as the years have gone on. And we're losing listenership. As I mentioned last drive, we've gone from about 15,000 consistent listeners to about 7,000. So we're trying to do what we can get those people back. The last drive was really successful in terms of getting credit card payments. Less than 3% was Bill Me, and it was about $3,000. Sataria got the Bill Me out. She started almost right away, but it's not as hefty as it usually is. So we should be addressing that. Want to thank Vinny. And I want to thank a bunch of people here, including Sarah Brown, who came in and answered phones. We had on Thursday before the drive, we found out that we weren't going to be able to afford to pay for phone volunteers. So at the last minute, we tried to get volunteers in. Many of you responded because initially we were going to try to do Tuesday through Sunday, but that was almost an impossibility to organize and execute. So we determined we would just do the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. I want to thank Nick Arena, Sarah Brown, as well as Vanetta Martin and Von Martin, Sue Goodwin, Elliot Gross, Jerry Annette Sataria. I think I said Dennis Arthur Hyland offered to come in as well, and David Raven, who all came and stepped up so that we were able to do such a successful drive. Saturday made $27,000. Sunday made $58,000. So for the full week, that was really tremendous that the weekend did that well. We're going to need phone volunteers. We're still in the process of discussing it. As Jerry said, the part of the issue is that Pacifica has not paid their insurance. I spoke to the executive director. She feels very confident, and you know how I don't know how that's going to go, but she said that by February we should have a
1 minute.
The insurance should be taken care of. Thank you. So if you guys are interested, we still have to start training volunteers for phones and everything. Esther was able to get some money in through grants. She got $10,000 from the First Church, Christ Science in Clinton, and $5,000 from the Diversity Fund. And, she's got other, things that are in application form, but she needed more information from the station and wasn't able to get it. What I would really appreciate and hope that, the LSB would concentrate on is helping WPFW raise money. If the LSB could say, we're going to try to raise $10,000 a month to augment off-air fundraising. That would help tremendously. So please think about that. And last thing is, Dennis requested the tally sheet be sent to the LSB. Can I ask why the LSB wants a copy of the spreadsheets?
We wanted to get just an idea of what the just sort of the fundraising as it pertained to the various programs over the course of the week.
And we used to see them in the past. Excuse me.
Thank you.
By the way, I see three hands on the stack, and we will end it there. So we'll have, when we get to it, we'll have Ron, Minerva, and Art. Were you done, Mayor King?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay. I just wanted to say one other thing that, I wanted to ask one other thing, which is that at some point, can Sataria, or someone from the station provide us with an idea of what are some of the active, I know you've talked about, developing new off-air, fundraising ideas. And so, you know, we can go back and forth, you know, as we come up with ideas through our board committees, we will advance them. But anything that you all are actively working on, if you can also share those ideas with us, that we can sort of help, you know, keep the ball rolling and, you know, help identify some projects, that the board can take on specifically.
I appreciate that, Dennis. Right now, between just trying to get information, still trying to count the checks. So Jerry and I are trying to meet just to figure out exactly where we are. But absolutely, thank you very much for that offer.
Okay, Ron.
Yeah, how you doing, Miyuki?
I'm cool. How are you?
I just wanted to acknowledge the hard work and excellent work that you've put in to step into this breach regarding, you know, our fund drives. You do a lot of work. You've had some very, very positive results. And I just want to commend you and thank you for taking that on behalf of myself and the rest of the LSB volunteers and programmers, because without you with the glue, all this would not have happened. So thank you very, very much.
I appreciate that, Ron, but you know, I'm not by myself. A lot of people without whom we don't work together, it's not happening, but thank you very much.
Hey, Minerva, you're up.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. And thank you, Miyuki, for the report you just gave. And first off, earlier in 2023, we were being made part of the tallies that the programmers see as it relates to the different programs. And that helped us understand where there were areas that maybe we could reach out to board members to say, hey, this show needs some people to pledge. If you haven't already pledged, please consider this show. So that's one thing. And the other part is this, what's being done is great. And Sataria did start out sharing. And we hope that when we say we're all working for the same message, which is the uplifting of WPFW, there's no reason it should just be open so we can help wherever we can. So I'm looking forward to having you and Sataria and whomever else work with our development committee, because we have Art and other people there who have a background in fundraising. We have people on this board who say they also have the same background. So we would like to and I'm speaking for other people, but I always speak for myself. In any way that I can to help the station, I will do that. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Minerva. Project. I'm going to supposed to be reaching out to you for. I'll give you a call tomorrow. But thank you. And in terms of the spreadsheets, the only concern is that we don't want programmers to be targeted. You know, because if you look at the numbers, hardcore numbers, some things are staggering. You know, some people have zeros and we don't, you know, always know the why and everything. We just don't want people to, I mean, I appreciate what you said that you tell board members this is a show that needs to be supported. That's wonderful. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't an issue where people were trying to program saying this show doesn't make any money. Why is it on? Because that's not our decision to make, but that's fine. So thank you very much. I'll get it out to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, Art.
Hey, thank you, Mickey, for your wonderful report and echoing Ron's and, Minerva's comments. Yeah, really, really appreciate what you're doing. You mentioned a comment about you losing listenership. It looked like, sound like something like you've lost half. So can you comment further about that?
Yeah, that's a trajectory of about 8 years. We've lost about half. We've gone from about, 13,000-14,000 consistent members who support the station down to about 7. And that's why everyone, if you hear people on the air, everyone's saying, tell a friend. I mean, that's the most inexpensive way. But right now what we desperately need more than anything else from the LSB, we need marketing and we need development. We need to have other ways of raising money. We're going into a drive. I mean, Jerry's trying to push it back a week. I don't know if we can afford to. Hopefully we come to this decision soon, but coming back in a month, otherwise there won't be payroll, there won't be health insurance, there won't be rent again. If we don't have consistent sources of income coming from other things and other than on air, that's part of the reasons why we have such an attrition of listenership. We ask for money way too much and we don't fulfill our thank you gifts. So we have a terrible reputation about things like that in the community. Terrible reputation.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah. I think there's a lot of us here on the LSB who are more than happy to help and, sit down and talk with you and kick some ideas around. So yes, we would love to have that opportunity to work with you and Sitaria much, much closely.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much, Arthur. And thanks for all that you do. I mean, the newsletter is very, very helpful and you're very, very thorough and you follow through on what you do with it. And I appreciate your work as well. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. It is time for the Finance Committee. Come out. You're up and I'll time you.
Sounds good. Thanks. Dennis, the Finance Committee is met this Monday, January 10th at 7 p.m. January 8th. At 7 p.m. via Zoom, the committee consists of myself as chair, Julie Hewitt, Lou Wolf, Sabu Hakim, Tony Leon, Eileen Rossin, and Kathleen Malloy. Our agenda on Monday was to convene our meeting to hear a financial report from management, the general manager, Jerry Paris, to review the December bank transactions and outstanding accounts payable for the month of December, to have an update on the FY24 budget, for the committee to set some FY24 financial goals, take questions, and adjourn. The information that is typically provided by management was not readily available. As Jerry mentioned earlier, his administrative assistant was ill and was not able to give us the details that the committee is typically able to review. We asked Jerry to let her know that as soon as that's available, to submit it to the committee so we could review and have questions for management. So I do not have that this evening. Some of the balances, I believe, at the end of December, on the 29th, the cash balance was $30,892. $30,892. What the committee decided, or what the committee discussed with regards to the update on the FY24 budget, is that the committee members, along with management, need to pick a date to sit down and really just kind of finalize the numbers, what we have currently in the budget or as a draft of the budget is something that the national office has put together. As we know, all the financial transactions emanate locally. The financial office or the national office simply consolidates that information. So we're best suited here locally to budget and prepare a budget for ourselves. So we're looking forward to having that meeting with management in order to finalize the budget. As far as setting FY24 financial goals, one of the things that the committee is looking to do is to prepare a break-even analysis. for the station. What we're looking to do is to ferret out the bare minimum that's required to run the station. Not any of the fluff, not lunches, not birthday parties, but the bare minimum it takes to have the station running. Power rent, office rent, utilities, so on and so forth. So that we can have an actual goal, a number that we can point to that we would have in terms of what we need to do during the fund drive and or outside fundraising activities. I think having this available along with the budget will then give the ability to guide the station into a better fiscal situation and actually have something as a what most nonprofits typically can do, which is break even. It's always nice to make money, but as a nonprofit, bottom line is you want to break even. I'd like to share, I don't know, Dennis, if you can give me the ability to share my screen really quickly, and I'll... bring this up. Not yet. I'll just talk about it. One of the things that's in review right now at the National Finance Committee is the final fiscal 2023, which ended September 30th. So the final income statement for the year is being reviewed currently at the National Finance Committee. I will tell you loosely right now that the station ended up in the red for the fiscal year to the tune of about $247,000, $248,000 if you round up. Most of the drivers there, what it looks like in terms of the costs, are our administrative costs consisting of rent, tower rent, some of the things I was mentioning earlier in and around what we're trying to kind of get a break-even analysis on. Also there, of course, are the salaries and also some consulting fees as well. So that's the second year in a row. So year over year, we ended fiscal 22 in the red at $114,000. So as soon as this is finalized, I'll share this with the larger board for you all to take and look at and prepare any questions that you would like to. But that's our finance committee report for December or for this meeting, January meeting. I'll take any questions.
Okay, I have one first question, Kamau. I take it that the sit down to hash out the numbers with the committee and management has not yet been scheduled. Is that correct?
No, we haven't. Well, we have not scheduled it. The admin is not well, so as soon as she's back and ready to go, we'll put a date in place.
Okay. Ambrose.
Yes, come out. The money that we would normally get, I think, is from the FCC. If we had updated the reporting that we're supposed to do, would we have been in the red both of those years?
The F what now? I missed that.
No. What? That go ahead. Funding available from the CPB, I think, is
CPB,
what Ambrose is referring to.
Okay. I'm surprised that doesn't.
Yes.
But it's CPB.
And, yeah, the CPB funding would have gotten us deep into the black, actually. CPB, their actual budget for 2024 is $536 million that they will be distributing amongst qualified stations.
So do we need to put more pressure on the national board to make sure that we are compliant so that we can get access to that money?
I don't know that pressure would do any good.
Yeah, Dennis, if I could, since I have been here even before Jerry regarding the CPB, we haven't had CPB money in over a decade. And even though every year we hear from the national board, oh, we're getting it back, our audits are in order, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously something is not in order. So I just, as a fiscal measure, I would not put very much stock in CPB money coming back, even though we have a CAB, because a CAB you have, if you're a member of CPB, we're not even CPB members right now. And CPB has also told leadership at Pacifica, maybe not Stephanie, but certainly the executive director before, that it was highly unlikely that Pacifica would ever get CPB money again.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And that was partially,
partially
because, attorney general in California, where Pacifica's license sits, had said several years ago that Pacifica was a growing concern, and that never changed. That status has not changed.
Okay.
I agree with that analysis. When I came on board, I looked up the CPB report on Pacifica. And what the CPB themselves stated was that Pacifica was in aggressive noncompliance. Like, we deliberately were out of compliance. So we've got a long ways to go before we're considered compliant. The CAB is a good start. The audits are a better move towards that. And we can't count on CPB funding anytime soon.
Okay.
Hello.
I see four hands on the stack, and we're going to back up into community comment in a minute. So 90 seconds each. Let's keep it going. Wayne?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I have a question for Kamal. Kamal, two questions, actually. When was the last time the station was in the black or broke even? If you guys have that, if Finance Committee has that information, and have you done an analysis of what is the biggest thing that will bring us back into the black? Have they worked on that? That's it.
Sure. What I have here, Wayne, is that the station was actually in the black. It had a net income of $186,130 at the end of fiscal 21. The primary driver in that year looks like it's a large grant of $181,000 that came in that year, and some miscellaneous / other income, of which I don't know what that is, but that was $111,461. It may have been PPP related, COVID or something like that. But we had an additional up and above, kind of like the norm, of $293,000 two years ago. So that's the last time the station was in the black. What was the second question? I'm sorry.
Sounds like you've done the analysis of like how to get back to that, or what was the driving force of it being in the black. So you've answered both questions.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. It'd be nice to get some income up and above the norm. So
right.
Yep.
Let's strive for that. Yeah.
Yep. That's the goal. Vanessa.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to add a little bit to the response to the question that Ambrose asked about CPP funds relative to any efforts by the PNB. I first want to say that I agree completely with Katia's analysis, but Ambrose's question, if I understood it correctly, really had to do with what can PFW do to qualify for the CPB funds. And my understanding is that we are a network. You heard everybody kept saying Pacifica. Pacifica's not compliant. Pacifica's not compliant. So PFW could be completely compliant. We were not in, you know, several ways, one being the CAB, which has just been newly established But we could be completely compliant, but because the funds are awarded to the network, then we would not have gotten those funds if the other stations in the network were not also compliant. So it's not just a PFW issue. It's a network issue. And there are people, the PNB in the last 2 years was working on the long climb up the hill, trying to be compliant again.
And I believe that was the spirit of Ambrose's question, if I may, was what can we do to pressure the national to get into compliance? But the other part of that is it's not only the national as an organization, but each of the component stations as well. Ambrose, did you want to make a quick comment?
Yes, I'm looking at it additionally as, isn't that a job responsibility of the executive director to be able to make sure that the network is compliant? Because that's money left on the table.
Yep.
And it is that a part of the evaluation of the Pacifica executive director?
May I attempt to respond to that?
Yes, Dennis? Yes, you may.
Okay. Ambrose, based on my understanding of the job description of the executive director, that is not explicitly something that she is responsible for. There is definitely a fundraising component to her position, but so no, let me just stop talking because I'm now coughing. But no, that is not my understanding, although there's absolutely a fundraising component.
Okay, Violetta.
I had just wanted to ask about clarification about WPFW getting individual because somebody had mentioned minority grants or whatever. I think it was answered already.
Okay.
We can't, right, because everybody is involved. We can't just do it for WPFW if we got in compliance.
I believe that's correct, although at some point I did hear, I think it was Julie Hewitt, make some mention of minority grant.
Right.
But yeah, but we will have to find out some more about that. The big pot, the CPB, is definitely that's the network. Okay, actually, we are at the PNB segment. No, relocation committee.
I can give you some more context on finance and then we can.
Okay.
Tap out for comment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You can dance for 5 more minutes and then we'll go to comment.
Dance. One of the important things I think Wayne did ask was doing some analysis work. And so what we've done in the committee and also at the National Finance Committee as well is try to compare what the station has done in this fiscal year compared to last fiscal year. And one of the things that you find when you do that is that the station brought in about 78,000 fewer donations, pledges, contributions year over year. So we're behind in revenue compared to the prior year by about $78,000. What we are also doing is a large impact in terms of increased costs of $93,000. So you've got it going in both directions, fewer dollars coming in, more dollars going out. Okay, and so when you drill down into some of the cost numbers, you find that administrative and programming are the two areas in which we've experienced an increase in the spending. All right, $67,000 more dollars spent in administrative costs, another $33,000 additional in programming expenses. What we do there is we drill further down into the administrative expenses, and you find that the driver primarily year over year is that the consultants, temps, and contractual staffing has increased to the tune of $69,000, basically $70,000. So that's your big driver there in and around administrative costs. When you go into programming, you find that the major driver there is going to be your, I did the math there, your tower and utilities. That's increased an additional $27,000. So this is the work that the committee is trying to do, to trying to get a hold of how better to save money on the one end, and then, of course, how best to solicit pledges, donations, income on the other side. We can't have losses on both. You could get away with maybe a little less dollars coming in if you were sharp and understood that we need to cut costs in particular areas. This is why each and every month we have to stay abreast of the budget, stay abreast of what it is it takes to break even, what it is it takes to run the shop, so that we're sure that we're not going to miss come September 30. So this is the kind of on-the-ground work that our committee continues to do, and that, frankly, the LSB is, you know, mandated to do through the bylaws. So that's our report for the evening. If there's any other questions, I'll take them now.
We have 2 minutes if anyone has a question. Okay. Let me turn now to community comment and make a note on the agenda. I have actually extended community comment. I've added 10 minutes of stoppage time, as it were, to the session. We had this conversation last month, and I just want to try this as an experiment, so that if there's something comes up that if there is a question that someone can actually answer easily and directly in about a minute, we will actually take time to answer the question, and we will without then sacrificing the full 30 minutes available to the public to speak. So we will try that this month and see how that goes. Eric Ramey, let's go for 2 minutes first round.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome back to the helm. Credible evidence has surfaced that the process for staffing the committee, which will do a search and make recommendations for the new general manager, evidence has surfaced that that procedure and process has become heavily contaminated. That committee or individuals for that committee, candidates, are supposed to or should self-nominate. It cannot or should not be done through third parties or in bulk through a proxy process. That is inconsistent with Pacifica ethics and possibly the bylaws. Secondly, a directive from Pacifica National some weeks or months ago asked or mandated that the relocation committee at WPFW be reconstituted. They did use the word reconstitute. It's clear that they were sending a message that they wanted it repopulated. The current cast remains convinced that a successful relocation cannot occur without their insight, without their vision, and without their wisdom. This is far from the case, I would suggest. The situation warrants it, the situation begs for it, and the situation demands it. I would ask that they comply with the Pacifica directive. Staff, step down. We just went through a catastrophic relocation effort. Perhaps it was no fault of the current members, but nonetheless, it was catastrophic failure, and a credibility issue exists as it is. Please step down. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for recognizing me. Thank you again. Welcome back.
Thank you. And I'm going to take the first 30 seconds of stoppage time to make two quick comments. One, the board will discuss the process for the mask selection at the appropriate time and on the agenda, and two, that the relocation committee is currently constituted exactly as prescribed by the PNB. Following those we had 30 seconds to community comment. Martha?
Good evening, everyone. Last month, I inquired about the results of the investigation into the loss of our move to the Federal Center, Festival Center. I've been asking this for 4 months. I've sent correspondence to the PNB chair, to the LSB chair, to the ED, and have yet to receive a response. I was told that an investigation was in place and the conclusions would soon be brought forth. I've heard all kinds of comments, and all I want to know is the truth. This is the fifth month that I've asked. Can someone give me a response?
Dennis, do you mind if I attempt to?
You know, I would really like to hear from the chair.
I think we lost Dennis.
I would like to hear from the chair.
Well, I'm on the PNB, so I thought I could answer from that perspective, but I'll step back.
I think we lost, hold on, Vanessa, I think we lost Dennis. So I would.
Let's let Dennis come back.
As vice chair, I'll take over until Dennis gets back.
A mutiny is not allowed.
Okay.
Vice chair, have you seen the correspondence that I've sent out?
Dennis is now back. Okay. I did, but I'll let Dennis comment. You're on mute, Dennis. You're muted.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just got kicked out. The question is about the investigation, correct?
Yes.
I did see the letter that was addressed to the PNB chair and the executive director. I have no knowledge of an investigation.
But Dennis, when I asked first, you were the one who reported that an investigation was taking place. That first month.
And there was a beginning of an investigation. I know that. And I was part of one interview and was told that the investigation would continue, and I have heard nothing since then.
But so you received the letter I got. Did you inquire with the ED?
The letter was addressed. I did not. I will follow up. I know that the letter was addressed to the ED, and I will follow up.
Yeah, but I've been getting this every month. It's been 5 months. That's very nonchalant. I really would.
I do not believe that there is an investigation currently underway. The PNB said that they were conducting it at that level. That's what I was told. I have no reason. I've seen no activity. I do not have any reason confidently to believe that an investigation is currently being conducted.
Okay. Well, as the LSB chair, do you mind requesting that she give me a response?
Not at all.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'd appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sabu, anonymous yes. owner.
Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year's. Congratulations to the new board members. I want to say I joined the cab. And so what Dennis was talking about earlier, the cab is along with some other things. So hopefully we'll be able to assist the the LSB, or be neutral. Stay neutral and watch and try to help to make the situation at the station a lot better. That's one. Two, hopefully this year, coming to this new year, that we can have smooth and decent LSB board meetings. So far today seems to be going pretty well. Hopefully we keep that going for the rest of the year. So that's it for me for the time being. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? The doors to your station are open. Okay, let me, I'm going to go back to something that I was supposed to mention earlier. Tony, you forgot to remind me. So I'll take a minute to do this, and then we'll see if anyone wants to raise their hand on community comment after that. I was supposed to remind everybody that for everyone who was just elected in 2023, whether you are taking a seat for the first time or whether you are were elected to a second consecutive term, I want to remind everyone that these would normally be 3-year terms, but these were are 2-year terms because the election was delayed a year. Those of us who are continuing actually did 4 years instead of 3. We have 2 years left, but that's also true of the new people. Just happen to be seeing you on the screen, Robert, folks like you and Mariah, that this is a 2-year term. So just to make sure that everybody, understands that, because things were a little, unusual last year. Okay. Is anyone coming forward again on community comments? Owner.
Yes, one more question. Could you state, let us know how many new board members have come on to the board compared to the previous board members? And I understand that you have 3 or 2, one resignation, one being expelled, and one, there's one other, something else was going on with somebody else.
Okay, well, right as of this moment, compared to members on the board who were not on members last year, we have Tony Leon and Michael Byfield. We have Robert Gordon and Mariah McLean and Andrew Craig. And I believe, correct me if there's anyone else who's new. And at this point, as of tonight, we have one
Ambrose.
Additional vacancy that will be filled. Ambrose, yes, thank you, Ambrose Lane. We have one additional free. Apparently, I wasn't counting. I was just thinking of names.
Yeah.
And there will be one. There will be one more runner-up seated after tonight.
Okay.
And Dennis, I needed to share that Vicki Gass was also elected, but we have the message about her this evening.
Yeah, I know. He was asking about new people who weren't on the board last year.
And that's okay. Okay.
Vicki was on the board last year. Okay. Eric?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just quickly, I know I mentioned this to you in an email. I have not been able to establish a contact, for membership to the CAB. I've sent emails out to several persons. Could you possibly, when you get a chance, establish a contact for me or find out who I need to actually speak to about this?
Well, I know there are, I see at least 3 CAB people in the room now. So everyone please note that Eric Ramey is interested, and someone please contact him to see, if there is a way that he can participate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Going once, going twice, going 3 times, we will return to the agenda at the point of the relocation committee. Kamau, you're back up.
Thank you, Dennis. All right. So the relocation committee established a series of meetings, of which we began November 29th and tried to meet on a biweekly basis. So far, we've met on the 29th, the 6th of December, the 20th of December, and the 3rd of January. The committee consists of myself as chair, and let me give you the total committee. Myself as chair, Adele Stan, Verna Avery Brown, Ronald Pinchback, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Wayne Bruce, Sarah Brown, Dennis Williams, Gary Paris, and Mo Thomas. Those are the official members, an integral part in very, very helpful to the committee to this point has also been Robert Gordon. I'll give you a list of accomplishments for this committee. And one of the main things we did was to finalize the space requirements for the new office, the new location for the station. As you all know, am I able to share yet?
You should be. You want to try?
Beautiful. All right. I think we went over this before, but as you all know, we had to, as a process of the committee, determine the best possible location. The way to do that is to first determine what actually is the minimum that's needed to actually be a functional and effective radio station. So we had this. This is our space requirements. Of which 2,210 square feet is the minimum or essential total for relocating the station. So we're happy to have done that. What we did do is we passed a motion. The motion was to make sure that with this minimum space requirement, that we're actually as a committee going to be able to go back and reevaluate as things in the marketplace or things change as we move forward. So we're not wedded to this. This isn't a etched in stone, but it is something that we are using as a guide for the agent as he moves through the list of properties. From this accomplishment, we also, as a committee, were able to bring together a letter that we submitted to our general manager. We also copied our LSB chair, and the letter is also CC'd to our executive director. In this letter, we're essentially asking for a list of inventory. And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to establish what it is that the station actually owns. What's the list of properties? What is it that we have that must be moved as we leave 1990 to the new location? This is going to, again, establish a bit of a cost basis for what it takes to actually move from 1990 to the new location. In addition to that, the inventory is needed for a hot switchover. Some of this I'm not completely versed in. I have some members here with me that can kind of talk through all the technical things, but there's something called a hot switchover that we need details on. The transmitter link, the plans for this kind of switchover, the amount of help that we think the station management can put together that would work in conjunction with some professional movers. We also have the use of a temporary location that may be necessary. Of course, we're asking if there was an estimate of moving costs that was prepared, kind of going back to someone mentioned the festival center. We expect that during the move from 1990 to the anticipated site about 7 or 8 months ago, the Festival Center, there would have been a list or amount of cost put together to make that move. So we're asking for that from current management. And as you see there, some other items as well. So we're happy to have submitted this, and we wait for the response from the general manager and his team to this letter. What we recently put together, and we're actually very happy about this as well, is a what we're kind of calling our matrix. What this matrix is going to do, it's going to be presented again to the agent and kind of give us a sense of the best areas of the city that we can call our new home. Space, whether it accommodates the minimum space requirement, what are the HVAC situations and other utilities, what's the accessibility? Is it car and parking, subway or bus? A little bigger. In terms of security in these neighborhoods, what's the general street crime numbers, building security, nighttime parking, the studio to transmitter, line of sight, access, local shopping. Of course, you know, it's always nice to be able to do something while you're at work, you know, for those who are staff, and or if our kind of makes it easier to invite folks down to the station if there's other things to do locally. So we want to kind of address that. And the proximity to our audience, we want to be in a neighborhood. We want to be somewhere close, kind of touch the people, kind of understand that it is community radio and continue on that path. And of course, proximity to some of the downtown events. So those things are all being considered in this matrix. There's a little bit of titration left to do here. This will then again be presented to our agent as he flows through and presents a list. We expect prior to our next meeting, I'll stop sharing now. We expect that prior to our next meeting that the agent will have for us, if not a list of properties, at least nail down the specific areas through this matrix that he's going to address. Once he gets that done, we'll then have a firm list and be able to kind of vet that list with some walkthroughs. Of course, bringing our current chief engineer, everybody knows Mo, and of course, bringing through Jerry as well to make sure that this properties are the properties that we're going to vet are up to snuff. So those are some of the high-level accomplishments that the committee has gone through. It's been a really good, solid committee, and they've kept me on point because I'm pretty busy, and so making sure that we actually achieve our goals. So I appreciate that. I'll pass it off if anybody kind of wants to have a quick synopsis. If I missed anything, please jump in, and then we'll take any questions. Sarah, Robert, comment, Vanessa, Berna, Jerry, anybody?
Well, Jerry? Quick comment. We actually anticipate this being a very simple move, the kind of dependent upon the destination selected, but we don't even anticipate having to hire a moving company in doing this move. We think that we've got the manpower amongst the staff and some volunteers, perhaps some LSB people, to make this move happen without even hiring a company. We may have to rent a truck. Probably we'll have to rent at least a truck. We don't think we're going to have to hire a moving company. So we're going to keep it as simple as we possibly can. Giving you an inventory is going to be pretty straightforward also, because we're running a pretty minimalist physical plant as it is. There's a lot of stuff that will not be transported. We are in the process right now, as of tomorrow, actually eliminating a lot of excess equipment. We will not be moving excess. Anything that goes is operational. No excess is going. We're not paying for any storage facilities. We don't anticipate going back to that. I volunteered some of my space in my home to store some stuff because I've got garage space, but it costs the station nothing, and we'll be getting rid of that stuff too. So I'll have that inventory for the relocation committee, hopefully by next week. Easy task.
Okay. Thank you. Ambrose.
Yes. First, great work, Kamau and our illustrious general manager. Thank you for what you put in. I was under the impression, and I would ask for some clarification from you, Dennis, I was under the impression that I could not join a committee until I was officially an LSB member. So my question centers around, number one, whether or not the relocation committee is closed, because if it is not, I'd like to join it. And also to get a list of other committees of the LSB so that I can also choose to join other committees. Okay. I could very much use that. And then lastly, did I hear right that our goal is to be able to move by May 1st? And are you considering a lease to own option?
Come on.
So the committee, due to, I think, it may have been Eric, mentioned earlier, due to the situation that happened about 8 months ago, the committee actually, in terms of its voting block, is fixed. There's a certain number that's already locked in. That's the 10 that we have. What we can do, and what Robert has done, and what you're welcome to do, or anybody else, is to come in and assist in any way possible. It's just when it comes down to a particular having to go left or right, there is a set number of members that are able to do that. And that's been mandated by the
PNC. Just for the voting, right?
Yeah. Just for the voting. Yep, absolutely. Everything else is wide open. So we invite any.
Does that mean, I'm sorry, Kamal, does that mean that I could be like an ad hoc member?
Oh, yeah.
You can come on in. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Other people can participate in the meeting. It's just a question of voting membership.
Yes. Yep. That's exactly right.
That's the only committee that is limited in that way by the DNB directive.
Yes. Yep. So, yes, the lease to own option did come up. It's being considered. And we very much would like to do that if we find the ideal space. We're not sure if this is going to kind of be a lily pad where we kind of hop and have to kind of jump again. So we're very much hoping to be able to do that, and that's definitely an option there. So I think that was the only. Did you have another one? Did I miss something?
Yeah, I'm going to address the other point, Ambrose. Okay. We did send out a description of current committees, and we're actually Irene has helpfully developed one that includes the newer committees. I'm going to ask actually what Kamau just did as chairs give the reports, say something about the current composition of the committee and when it's meeting, because we want to remind all of the new and old or continuing, not old, delegates that we need everybody to be an active participant in at least one of these several committees. That's where the work gets done. That's where the real conversations are able to happen and ideas get to be fleshed out.
Thank you.
Yep, Minerva.
Thank you, Dennis. And Kamal, thank you for sharing the information about the relocation committee. You talked about your timeline for meetings. We know that we only have until August of this year, if I'm correct, to be in the space that we're in. Is there a timeline as to when you will have some locations nailed down that would possibly meet the information you shared regarding the minimum? And what would be actual? And then finally, if you have a copy of the information from the PMB, the directive or the resolution, however we want to call it, could you please share that? Because I wasn't under the impression that it was limited to just 10 people. But if that is the case, could you please share that so that the membership has a better understanding? As to, because I think I sent my name forward to you at a meeting, but I just wish you would share that, because I also think that each year for the committees, we're supposed to elect new officers, but I am just going to just put that out there and ask if you could possibly answer again the one about, do we have a timeline as to when we'll have some places? And the other part, the resolution. Thank you.
Good thing. Yeah, so the current lease actually expires 12/31. 2024. So the drop dead date to be out of 1990K is the 31st of December of this year. The, I'll definitely forward the resolution. The committee expects to have a full list available of properties at the February meeting, maybe before that, but definitely by our February meeting to distribute. And again, the work of the committee is going to be done, but yeah, we'll definitely share some of the results coming back from the broker. February meeting. I'm sorry. And then for us as a committee, we determined to actually have some place to be. I think someone said May, and I don't know how they do that, but we were talking about being having a place at least locked down somewhere in May so that we could actually be out of there before the August date, which kind of kicks in. September kind of kicks in a new number for us. So we got to be careful. If we can get out of there by August, 1990K, if we can get out of there by August, we won't get kind of into this new lease amount at 1990. So that's kind of the timeline.
Tom?
Yep. Mariah? Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis. So, Kamau, this is probably a very newbie question, but for our archives, are they all digitized, or is that something that we need to consider when relocating?
That's a Jerry question. I believe everything is, but I don't know.
The archives are all digital, although we have libraries, if you will, at the station with their, dare I say, random collections. It's not operational stuff. So the archives are all digital. We have localized servers that we put in place recently because we had some instabilities in the National Archiving, the Pacifica archiving system. So we're kind of between systems right now. Our local archives, which is just amounts to a couple of servers, would be part of the relocation from 1990 to the new location. It would be rather straightforward.
Got it. And part of the physical space that we'll need as well. And that will have to meet the minimum requirement, the square footage, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So, yeah, the square footage takes into account a kind of like a network room that would have servers and the like in there. So, yeah, for sure.
In the rack.
In the rack. There you go. Yep.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, not a problem.
Thanks, Kamau.
Dennis, if I can join the stack.
All right, last one.
Go ahead, Michael. I beg your pardon?
I said, yeah, you'll be the last one on this topic. Go ahead.
Okay. Can I speak now?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, as it relates to relocation, as a past relocation chair that was responsible for moving from L into K, I seriously object to the parties that are running the relocation at present, especially as a new board member, to come in and be told that, hey, it's closed. You don't have a say. You don't have a say. You can stay on the sidelines and assist us, when the parties that are running the relocation were the ones that were responsible for sabotaging what amounted to almost $600,000 in savings. I don't think they're qualified. I would like to see the gentleman that wanted to join the board on the board. I think he's far more qualified than the people who looked at such a savings and decided that it wasn't worthy, despite serving on the board for years and didn't recognize that during a pandemic, you had tons of space for pennies and never took advantage of it until someone came in with a great opportunity and you guys worked overtime to sabotage it. I think I've said my piece. I don't think you guys are qualified.
I think you have. Thank you. That concludes the relocation portion of the meeting. We are now going to the PNB report. I don't know how we're doing this. I don't know if Julie is still, still the PNB chair, although you're no longer on the LSB. I don't know if Vanessa is giving the report. Somebody.
So, I am here. I don't know if Julie is here as well. She is still the PNB chair, for another month or so, till the end of January when the new PNB, is seated. I do not have a report to give. The last time we had a meeting, and I understand that this can be frustrating for people, so much is done in executive session and we sign non-disclosure agreements. And so, Julie was usually in the best position as chair to make the report, in terms of trying to be sure that nothing that the body agreed would be confidential was disclosed. And, there was nothing from the last meeting that it was agreed, could be disclosed. So I'm so sorry for that. But that was the agreement of the body. The public portion of the PNB meeting, was, on the stream so everyone could hear that. And then there was an executive session where, confidential matters were disclosed. So that is, I did not expect to have to be the one to, make any sort of a report, but, at least to try to shed some understanding.
Is Julie in the house as a listener?
She's not here tonight, and she told me she was going to take a break. If we really need her, we can call her, but she'd rather not.
Okay. Verna, I see your hand. We are discussing PNB business. If this is related to relocation, we're not going to do that now.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment based on the last reckless comment that was
made.
If
it's about relocation, I'm not recognizing you for that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Tony, PNB question?
Yes. So, I understand, things, that happen in executive sessions can't be disclosed now, but what about open session? Is there anything significant that could be reported in open sessions and in any of the PNB committees from any of the PNB directors?
So that's a fair question. In terms of reports from committees, I can only tell you what happened on the committees that I am on, which is governance and elections. Violetta and Minerva are also on those committees. The most important thing from my perspective, on the elections committee, the governance committee, could not meet quorum, so they did not meet. The elections committee, there was a vigorous discussion about the decision that was made by the PNB to change the term of the elections from the usual 3 years to 2 years. And at the end of that discussion, it was allowed to stay. The decision was made for it to stay with the 2 years that the PNB had decided. There were pros and cons on each. In terms of whether 3 years, which is the usual term, would be more just and more economical, than the 2 years. So Dennis made the announcement earlier, about the 2 year terms, and the election committee may be revisiting that matter later in the year. And it would be a recommendation if they decide to raise that issue again. And if the vote is such that they want to recommend reverting to the 3 year terms, then it would be a recommendation to the PNB, who would then vote on the matter. That is the most vigorous discussion and an important matter that I think should be shared with the body. I don't know if Donna or Sue have anything that they would like to add.
In the meantime, I see Minerva actually has her hand up, so I'm going to see if she has a question.
And I have a follow-up.
Okay, Dennis. Okay, Tony, you go ahead first and then Minerva.
Okay, so Vanessa, are you referring to the election that just occurred and the motion that was made to make the term 2 years? Or are we talking about the next election?
No. The election that just occurred, it's consistent with what Dennis announced at the beginning, that the PNB decision to change the terms from
three. That's totally brought to my attention, reminded me.
So it's a possibility that because the PNB hasn't passed that motion yet, that it could revert back to 3 year, if I understand you right.
They have passed that motion, there was a vote on that motion, and it passed. But the elections committee raised the discussion again. There were those who believed that 3 years would be more appropriate. There was a vigorous discussion, but at the end of the day, the committee voted to table the motion. And so I think the deadline they agreed on is it can be brought up again at any time before July of this year. So it could be reintroduced to the PNB from the elections committee or their directors who might choose to raise the topic again. But as it stands right now, the PNB has voted on it. It is 2 years rather than three.
Okay.
Minerva?
So?
Yep. Right, Dennis. Thank you, Vanessa. Dennis, what I would like to do, if allowed, I sit on the election committee as well with Vanessa and Violetta, and I just have some information that can be shared with the board, if you would allow me.
Please.
Is that okay? Okay.
Yes,
the information is, at this time, they are we do have an election coming up for individuals who were in 2024. And they are asking, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. And they are asking.
Excuse me, everyone please mute except Minerva. I hear some background noise. Go ahead, Minerva.
Okay. They are asking that as we know, this election that just took place, there were a lot of things that did not go well. And I understand there are 413 pages of comments. So what they're asking members of this election committee to do is there was a motion that went forward on the committee that the individuals who are on the committee would be able to gather their thoughts, not just from themselves, but any LSB members or others that would have concerns about what happened with the election, and that person would be able to send them directly to the ED. It's not going to go back to the election committee, but they are looking for an email address for the ED so this information can go forward. And this is as it relates to the National Election Supervisor, and also whether or not to look at encouraging them to have local election supervisors. So once that email address is given, Dennis, then I would like to bring it to you and to the board and just ask for comments, because all of us have some thoughts about what took place with this past election. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Irene, I was going to come looking for you because I know you had a couple of questions under the PNB section. So I'm recognizing you now.
Well, first thing is that I sit on the programming committee for the
PNB. Do that first.
And the last time that we met, there was a lively discussion about possibly doing a news program where it's across the nation and we're delivering the same messages on the news report. I don't know if Sue Goodwin was nominated, and if he wasn't, I really meant to nominate her because she was doing some great work on that committee. And it was in collaboration with a representative from Houston and DAI and some other, affiliate stations. And, if she's not going to sit on that committee, they're losing a good asset because she knows her stuff when it came to that. So that was the last discussion that I remembered from the programming committee. And I can continue to sit on there. And if I can get your input, Sue, if you're not going to sit on it, if I can get your input, I know I can't open your head and take your expertise, but I know that I can count on you if I need some information, right?
Yes, you can count on me. And let me share with you, personally, I feel my next step is to just sort of create a draft rundown of what a national show could look like. It won't be definitive, but the idea is to give people something concrete that they can react to. And it'll be based on, you know, my experience, as you know, I did the weekly Best of NPR show, et cetera. So I just need to carve out the time to do that. I hope to get that done by the end of the week, and I will send it to you immediately, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Sue.
And, okay, so one of the things that concerned me is that we never really established that the PMB had amended and restated their bylaws. Right. And the date of that amended and restated version was dated July 27, 2020. When you first Googled, and I don't think it was posted until this past year, somewhere mm-hmm. in the last few months, because if you Googled the bylaws of Pacifica, you only got the 2016. So I just want to make sure that when we're looking at the Pacifica bylaws, that the amended and restated bylaws are dated July 27, 2020.
Okay.
So,
and actually the ones, I think Minerva brought that to my attention because when you go to the Pacifica website and go on there and pull it down, it's the older ones. So you actually have to search for the 2020 ones. We're going to discuss later, having a workshop for board members. And that's one of the places where we'll make sure that everybody gets access to the latest information.
Great.
Thank you. Whenever you look for the bylaws, make sure that they're dated 2020. There is a new version. Thank you. And you had a question about a general counsel resolution?
Yes. Back in the summer, we had a very heated meeting for almost 2 hours in regards to an apology or something. And as I recall, this meeting was about an email that possibly was written by the Pacifica General Counsel mm-hmm. in regards to how we should, or it was given some type of,
understanding. You were asking for an apology, correct?
Right. And someone was asking for an apology. Well, that email was never provided. And if it contained anything that would show us how we should go forward with that, then I think that we should have it because that's one of the things that our community is asking for a resolution of that situation.
Okay.
And if there is some guidance in there on how we should go forward, then I think that that email should be produced.
Okay. So what is specifically, I'm with you, but what specifically email are you referring to?
It was an email written by Pacifica's general counsel.
In response to ours.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cause no. I remember that there was a response that basically said, forget you. So is a copy of the email response from Pacifica to see if that gives us some guidance on how to proceed next.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that would help us respond to our community comment that it would be helpful. Just saying.
I'm sorry, there's a train going by. I will look for that, and I will also ask around to see if anyone else has a copy of that so that we can.
There was no response from the Pacifica attorney to the motion that was made by this LSB to ask for an apology for comments that he made. All four of the PMB directors verified the existence and the contents of the email that from the attorney that initiated the discussion. There was not, to my knowledge, a response directly from the attorney. There was a vote that took place, and I sent to the LSB the results of that vote.
Do you still have a copy of the resolution that was voted on?
Kamal would probably, I'm sure I can find it, but I would probably defer to Kamau and his young brain cells to pull it up.
Let's look and see whatever we have from that, and we will just review that.
Okay.
Thank you. With that, I think, Ellen, are you ready for the election?
Hello? Okay, can everyone hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Tell me you can't hear me. Okay.
I can hear
all right.
You.
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready for the vote, and I just want to read this so people know. And from the July 27, 2020 amended revisions, the delegates of both classes of members voting together shall elect three listener sponsor directors using the single transferable voting method. And that's what this voting method that I'm using, OPA, is the voting program. I have all your emails in there, and I checked just to make sure, Minerva, your email is in that. And I have to check again because to see if it was in the other for the email, but I am definitely going to send it. And then you can send me an email if you're, when I ask you about your comment, if it was okay. All right.
Okay.
But thank you. Okay. And I have to, well, I'll thank you later about something you did that made me feel really good. Thank you. All right. The other thing is these are the instructions for what you're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and click so that the vote will start. Okay. Did you double check? And I double checked to make sure that everything was correct. I have everybody's emails. There are 23 emails. I excluded the people that, Vicky Gass. I'm not going to change the setting at all. Technical support fee. I'll pay that if there's a problem. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start the selection. And this is free for us. Okay.
So the voting is started.
Excuse me. That's what I'm getting ready to tell you. You're going to get an email.
Okay.
I started this election. You're getting an email. And here's the direction. You are electing three people to the PNB director listener position using the single transferable vote. You will see a ranked enhanced ballot. So look on there. Now you're going to use the button to add choices to the ballot and then drag to arrange them in order of preference, whoever you want, first, second, and third. And then you'll put down the fourth person because they're going to be four individuals. And you should see their names on there. The names that you should see are Michael Byfield, Irene Adams, Minerva Sanders, and Vanessa Dixon Briggs, who are listener delegates that are running for PNB. And they were nominated by another individual. They did not nominate themselves. Okay. Use the button to add the choices to the ballot and then drag to arrange them in order of preference with your most preferred at the top and the least preferred at the bottom. Okay, are there any questions?
I have one first. Do we click on vote to begin? Because there are no names.
There's no names on there yet? It should be.
Not when I first opened the email. But if I click vote, then will the names appear?
Yes.
Okay. Donna,
did the names appear?
Thank you. Ellen, I'm not sure that you have my correct email address because I have not been receiving any correspondence. I retired and I have a new email address. I sent it out.
I have Donna. Wait a minute. Donna.
Oliver Grimes, 23.
Oliver, Grimes at gmail.com. That's what I sent it to.
The number 23. Because I haven't been receiving anything. I didn't receive a notice.
No, you didn't have the note. You had Donna Tolliver Grimes at gmail.com. That's what was sent.
I sent it to Minerva and I sent it to others. Dennis, I think you were not.
Send it to me.
I thought I did, Ellen, but okay. But anyway, it's.
Okay. Can you put it? All right. If we could do this, Dennis, could you in the chat, could she put her?
I put it in the chat.
Her list just.
Oh, okay.
Just for Dennis, could she do that?
Well, she could text it to me, but how would we? Then we'll just add it to your totals.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we'll have to do it that way.
Okay. Do you have my number, Donna? You text me.
Yes, I do have your phone number. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Is anyone else having a problem?
Four names in rank order.
I have a question. So
Ron has his hand up. His hand up.
All right. I can't get my hand up. I don't know how to.
Ron, and then Vanessa.
I'm on my phone.
Just a quick question. I know I'm the only candidate for the staff position, but is that the reason why my name does not appear on this election?
Right, because you're not a part of this vote. This is a vote for listeners. But okay, I just want to make sure you know. Even if your staff PNB LSB member, you can vote in this election for a listener director to the PNB.
And Ron, if there were more than one candidate, it would be a separate election. It would be a separate.
Yeah.
Understood. I just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, Vanessa.
So you're actually by acclamation, you'll be the staff person.
I think I just got it. I was going to say that I had not received the ballot, but I think I literally just got it. So never mind. I got it. Thank you.
Verna?
So if we only vote, so as a staff member, I can vote for the listener, representative candidate.
Yes.
But if I only vote for two and not four, is that going to disqualify my ballot?
What you're doing is you're putting them in order. You're going to have to, the vote is for three. So it may disqualify it if you only put two people in.
Okay. So you have to put in four.
Well, if you don't want to risk the possibility of being disqualified, yes, I would recommend that. Okay. Ambrose.
No, my question was just answered. I have to put all four in order.
You have to put all four in order. What if you already sent it without all four?
It's transferable. You have to do how you want them. The first three that you want, that's what you have to put in order, the first three.
Right.
Who's number one that you want, number two, number three.
If you just
And then click, you'll put the fourth person.
If you just click your number one choice first, then it'll populate one.
Yeah, click on it, it'll go over. Click on them in the order you want and they'll go over to the list. Donna, you want to try this again? Okay, I got you. You're good, Donna.
Thank you.
Okay, I have voted.
Something went wrong.
Can I say something, Dennis, please?
Yes.
Okay, just in terms of process, because as I understood the instructions from Ellen, he said click and drag. That's not how it worked for me.
You have to click and drag. I just had just to click. Just click.
Right, on add, and then it'll automatically populate in the next number.
Right. Correct.
Okay.
Oh, two. I like that. And it was free? And it was free?
Yeah, it's free. Oh, but wait a minute. It's only free if you do 25 emails of voters voting, and you can't have more than 10 candidates.
Okay.
And they do transferable, and they do polling also.
That is
but
so-
it, again, it only can be 25 candidates. And I'll tell you later, it's really interesting. I learned so much from Fair Vote. There are states now that are using this that it, because it's so much fairer for voting. They're doing road, well, I don't get me started. It's okay. Really exciting what's happening.
Ellen, I just forwarded you Donna's text with her list.
Okay. So you emailed it to me?
It's a text.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. You have my telephone number?
Yes.
So you, oh, okay, I see it. I hope I don't mess up this.
Okay, should we be doing, has everyone voted? And I'm wondering, should we,
Yeah, I have to wait until everyone has voted, and then I stop the voting, and then I get the results.
Okay. But I'm wondering if we would like to do another report and then get the results after that report.
Good idea.
Yes, I think we should, Dennis, this winter.
Okay. Outreach Committee, Violetta. Everybody just keep,
hello.
Keep voting, and then we'll make an outreach report.
Okay. The outreach, good evening, everybody. The outreach committee met on Tuesday. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Met on Tuesday, January 2nd, and present were Michael Byfield, myself, Marsha Edwards, Sabu, Art, Irene, Martha, Minerva, Gloria, and Fred Wilson. We talked about, number one, the town hall and the PFW town hall. We are planning to have it in March. A location has yet to be determined, and outreach members are still searching for an appropriate site. Members of the committee, we're going to be working on the agenda for the town hall and review the last town hall. And we're going to communicate with other members in order to be ready to finalize the plans for the town hall at our February meeting. Possible dates might be March 23rd or March 16th, so we'll have time. And we'll explore the possibility of having the town hall on a weekend or during the evening as well. Secondly, we talked about a fundraiser. Although Art is talking to Candy Shannon and Bill Wax to see their assistance in setting up a fundraiser, members decided that instead of working on a combination fundraiser and town hall together, that we would do that at a later date so we could do a better job and have more time. And the third thing was the newsletter, thanking Art for his work. And he's working on the next one, which will be published in February, hopefully. And then the last thing was some other business that was brought up. The Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival will be held February 16th and 17th and 18th. And Gloria has gotten a table. Volunteers are needed to sit at the table and hand out WPFW trinkets like pins and magnets. We're asking LSB members to volunteer if you have the time. So the festival starts at 10 a.m. and is over at 7 and 8, between 7 and 8. So if you feel free to help with the cost of paying for WPFW postcards or magnets, we welcome that as well. Then we also discuss bringing in new members to WPFW. Michael reported that a former WPFW programmer would like to work with the outreach committee to devise ways to increase the number of young people who listen to the station. And we discussed the possibility of reaching out to Prince George's Community College. And that was about it. We adjourned about 8:12.
Okay, thank you. Quick question. Do volunteers at the festival get to sit in on any of the sessions?
We can find out from Gloria. We didn't discuss that, but I'll make a note to find that out.
Maybe just listen through the door. Okay.
Okay.
Sarah?
Yeah, how do we forward you some money? Last year I asked you to send me some refrigerator magnets since I collect those. I'm willing to buy a bunch of those, at least send you some money for a bunch of those, and then you can turn around and give them out. So where do I send my money?
Sarah, I sent you an email to ask for your address so that I could send you some refrigerator magnets, and I never got a response. I can contact you via email and give you the information if you'd like.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Highland.
Yeah, so I am talking with Vinny about some of his merchandise and things that he wants to produce. And in particular, he's talking about a donor card to have, you know, for this very occasion here at this upcoming music festival. And I've also encouraged Vinny to, you know, throw some numbers at us just to find out what it would cost to either print this card, do another magnet, you know, whatever other kind of merchandising things he's talking about. Cause I'm of the opinion, as Sarah has just demonstrated, that, people on the board might indeed help fund it. It's something tangible. It's something that the station needs, and it'll help us raise mm-hmm. money in the future. So hopefully I'll hear back from, Vinny soon, and I can share that information with the board.
Okay. And, let me say, and this goes for both outreach and development committees in particular, as these things come up and, you know, you hear about opportunities or things that the board can help with, don't wait for the meeting. Get in touch with me and Ellen right away so that we can start, you know, sending, so we can get information out to the board and solicit, help in any way, you know, anytime during the month. So just don't hesitate to keep the lines of communication open.
Okay. Thank you.
Minerva.
Yes. Thank you, Dennis. And thank you, Violetta. I happened to speak with Gloria for a moment today, and she will also have t-shirts there. And I volunteered to look at possibly having cups or mugs or something, see if we can get some pricing for those, which is another good item to have. To help generate funds for the station. So if anybody has any other ideas, or they have a friend or someone that might be in that line of business where they might have keychains or, you know, just little items where we could get WPFW's name on it that we could also have. I mean, it's when people go away, they really like to have something in hand to take with them. So if the ward can help with that, it would be great. Thank you.
Yep. Ellen, do you have news? I see your hand up.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, can I go ahead and say stop voting? Has everybody voted?
Anybody?
Has everyone voted?
One, two, three. Okay.
Oh, okay, so I'll stop the voting.
Okay, thank you. Adele.
Okay.
Yeah, just to what Minerva was saying, I had done some research for an organization I was working for a couple years ago about getting that kind of stuff made, and found a union shop that does the same kind of thing that like Cafe, whatever, you know, Express does with that kind of imprinting. I'll try and get that information to you.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Do we have a result yet, Ellen?
Not yet, in a minute.
Okay. Well, we're going to, I think we don't have a long report from development, but I, and Irene told me that they hadn't met yet, but I wanted to put you on.
Okay. Wait a minute. It's coming now. It's a summer. Okay. You ready?
Okay. Drum roll.
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Okay. First round.
Well, can you just do the final?
Okay. Okay. The winners are Irene, Vanessa, and Minerva. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
And I also added in Donna's. So it still would be Vanessa. And I can send this to you. And if you wanted to send it to go to the results to the entire board. Congratulations. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
And the
four. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And as noted by acclamation, our staff director from WPFW will be Mr. Ron Pinchback.
Yes.
Okay. Good job. Thank you, Ellen. Okay, as I was saying, Irene, I kept you on the agenda so that you could just let people know about the committee.
I just wanted to say thank you for trusting me to do it.
Of course.
Thank you, Dennis.
Okay.
The development committee had not met during the holidays, but meetings will resume on Thursday, January 25th, 2024 at 7 p.m. and we'll continue to meet on the fourth Thursday of each month. I only have one question. Would it be possible to get the entire link to meetings posted on a one click? It's so much easier if you just do click one, the links are there to go directly into the Zoom. Is that a possibility? Right now, our meetings, only part of the passcode is clickable.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's hard to get to the meetings. And
okay, that shouldn't be difficult. But, you know, we're going to have some, I'm going to have a meeting with some folks, and we're going to talk about all things Zoom. So that'll be one of the things that we will, because that should not be a problem.
Okay, thank you.
There should be a way to just hyperlink that. Mr. Tatum.
Yeah, I was going to say that when Ellen sends out the agenda, the link is at the top. And all I had to do was click one time on that link. And I got into the meeting. Now, you do have to have a client version of Zoom on your computer in order to do it that way.
But that's not the case for the committee meetings. And like Monday or Powell's meeting, the link wasn't even the correct one. I'm not sure.
So it works for the board. We have to make sure that we are able to do the same thing for the committees.
That is correct. Well, Well, it works for the board only because Ellen puts it in the agenda. It doesn't work from the website.
Okay. Does the one that comes from WPF, the KPFTX, the automated one, is that a one click?
No, it's not.
Okay. Okay. We will address that. Okay, program committee and LSP show.
All right. Thank you, Dennis, for the time. The program committee did not meet in December, but we will have our meeting on January 22nd. And the information was sent. So it will be listed on WPFW's site and also the KPFTX site. So we're inviting individuals to come and take part in this committee. I think I listed the goals for this committee will be to look at, we have three different copies of what the program director's job description is. So we're looking to try to get information as to which one we should be using as we look at how this committee interacts with the program director. And we'll also be looking at trying to get answers for the community members that are part of the committee. We want to use 2024 as a year to talk about new and innovative ways that WPFW can move along. And I've heard that for 8 years we have 8% of the market. So the question now is, how do we move to maybe 10 or 15%? And again, as I mentioned earlier, it would be looking at trying to reach out to the community, whether it's with the outreach committee, the CAB, or just doing something individually, as some of the other LSBs are doing throughout the Pacifica website, to find out from the community, what are your thoughts? What are you wanting WPFW to do for you, since we're all family and working on this together? Now, we will also in our meeting be electing a chair, a vice chair, and a secretary. So again, we encourage any member of the LSB or any other individuals that want to be part of this committee to please come and join it, because we are beginning to learn a lot about the station and its programming. And we also want to invite programmers, because we did start the piece about the Programmers Bill of Rights, and I think it's kind of stalled right now, but hopefully it will become active again. So I will stop at this time to see if there are any questions. If not, then I'll turn it over to the group that is dealing with the LSB show for them to share information.
Sarah, you have a hand up.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
Yes.
With respect to that, the program director, I had been tasked by you when you were the chair to collect some information, and I forwarded it to Dennis, and I thought I'd copy you on it too. It was sort of just general information. Did you get it, or Dennis, did you get it?
I have it. I haven't done anything with it. And if that's, as long as Minerva has it, and the program committee is going to take the lead dealing with it, I'll just hang on to it.
Minerva, did you get it?
I will have to go back and look, Sarah. Between the Christmas and probably about a week ago, I've been really feeling not well. But I'm trying to get back into things now. And also, Sarah, I want to apologize to you, because I did see your information regarding your activity that you would like to bring for the upcoming, I think, in June for Gay Pride.
You don't have to apologize. I just sent it out. Okay.
So thank you.
You don't have to apologize at all. Thank you very much. As a matter of fact, I really appreciated your support.
Okay.
And I have those, the position description information, if anybody, if you want it again, Minerva, or just let me know.
I will do that, Dennis, because like I said, we have three different ones. So it's right. like, which the, one is the real have, one?
Yeah, and I have a copy of the three. I think two.
Okay.
Any other program committee questions?
Well, Minerva asked us to chime in for further information. Bill and I have requested a couple of things, and that our requests have gone unheard, ignored, I don't know how to say it, but we requested training from either the PD or the development, Mayuki, so that we can hone our skills in our on the radio presence. We were told that we could not come into the station, simply that, so we couldn't get training. It would have to be somewhere else. Well, I mean, where else can we get training but in the station itself? The other thing that we requested was that the LSB shall be added to the drop down when it came to the donations. We were told that it can only be added one time, just during the pledge drive. But if someone wanted to donate to the LSB show any other time, that drop down is not available. And I wasn't understanding why that is so when other 1 week shows or whatever are added to the drop down. So I didn't understand okay. that.
Excuse me. It was added. And at that time we were moving into the drive. My impression was that it would be permanent, but I have not checked since the drive ended. You should just check and see if it is still there, but it was there.
Okay. Very good.
And that's due to Bill's diligence.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He was on it. And also, the training, we were making an attempt. We were asked to be assigned an engineer so that if we weren't allowed in the station, that we could in fact, take calls even if we were on Zoom. And I believe that we do have a name for a designated engineer to assist us with that. So,
yes, we do.
Bill.
PD, yeah. Yeah, we have, she assigned, she gave me a name. So that's taken care of.
So was there anything else other than that?
Well, just to reiterate some of the things that you said, you know, training. Well, there's an issue with trying to get into the station because we wanted to kind of get some training on the board in anticipation that we would be taking calls from listeners. That's one of our goals for this upcoming year. May I add also the other pieces we had talked about?
Go ahead.
Irene, all right. So, you know, for the next upcoming show, we want to reflect that the LSB is busy, that we're trying to do things. We want to kind of be speaking forward into the future. And along that line, I'm going to glean from, probably talk to you directly, Dennis. What's the, you know, the vision, the goal of the LSB for this year so we can inform the community of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that we will need to be discussing as a group, and I will get that on the agenda.
Okay. You're speaking of for the next
meeting? Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the long-term vision and goals is something that we need to do. We had a couple of specific things we had to pay attention to in this month's meeting. Okay. But yeah, that is someplace I want to get to.
We'll tease that at this show in January. Yeah. Okay. No problem. What else I want to say right quick. Thanks so much.
You can always say, it's always safe to say that one of the goals of the LSB is to grow the station and grow the listenership.
Yeah. And our thinking in terms of, taking calls is to build that, to strengthen that relationship,
mm-hmm.
Towards building listenership. I know that the last two LSB fund, the last two times we were a part of the fundraising drive, mm-hmm. We met our goal and exceeded it. Still waiting for the total goal, which would have included checks that came in. Mm-hmm. Got the own air goal.
And, you should also, also stay in touch with the relocation committee because they're working on a development goal as well, in terms of, moving funds, that sort of thing. So stay in touch with them and they may have some information that, can be fed out through the LSB show as well.
Yeah, we'd like to have the LSB to be a show that does announce the good things that the station is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could not be, it won't be so controversial if our meetings continue so politely as they are for this start of the new year, which is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Irene and I are still working out the details. Katia did agree to give us some, she did agree to give us training. We just have to work out the particulars of that, how that's going to happen. And tonight at this meeting, I heard that we can go into the station.
That's what I heard.
So okay. We'll work that out, one way or another, because we would prefer to be in station taking calls.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, we're going to make it work.
Okay. So, we have a couple questions and then we're going to move on. Verna and Tony are on the stack in that order.
Okay. Yeah. So in regard to training, it's good to know that yes, if you all are willing to sign the waiver, you can go into the station. However, there's a great deal of training that can be done outside of the station. And I would be willing to help either of you or both of you with some of that coaching. There's a lot that can be conveyed by the phone and using the Zoom. It's not necessary really to go into the station, but if Katia is going to help you with that, if you need extra, you find that you need something extra or you want to get started on it sooner, give me a call. I'd be happy to help you with that. I've got a little experience with that and, can help. I'd be eager to help get that show, sort of up to where we want it to be. That's all I got.
Thanks a lot, Verna. Yeah, I guess you gained a lot of insight doing your show in a closet for 4 years, right?
Well, I'm not in the closet anymore.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Of course, for 30 years, it was in the studio. So, you know,
yeah.
But I can tell you how to do yours out of the closet if you want to.
Okay. Well, just to say, yeah, I accept the help. We accept the help. Sure.
Okay. Certainly.
Great. Thanks for
that. You got my email address. Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tony.
For the one of the goals, I would like to see pushed up towards the top of the list, along with the Bill of Rights and grievance procedures and stuff like that. Also, that you all solidify the process for bringing on new programs, evaluating programs, and removing programs. Which was the point that I was trying to convey to the program director, which she didn't really respond to.
Okay, are you talking about the program committee now? Not the
programming committee. Yeah, these are things that they're working on because programming is a science. Successful programming is a science, and it requires data. And if we don't have, for example, Nielsen results, which are helpful, but you know they're not complete. We can get data from other sources, such as the info.pfw email from people who call in to the show, and so on and so forth. So it should be scientific. It shouldn't be on a those things shouldn't be done on a personal basis, and this is a bylaw requirement for the program committee to ensure that we have fair processes and procedures for programming. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ambrose, then we will move to the next section.
Yes. Just wanted to suggest to Bill and those that do the LSB program to consider interviewing LSB members, whether or not it's a group of members or individual members, that's their choice. You could have two or three at a time and interview them for the show and give the community a sense of who we are. You know, we all have various backgrounds. We come from different places. What is our connection to the community? What is our connection to WPFW? And then what are we envisioning for 2024? So I think that if you dedicated the next couple of programs to being able to do that, I think that absolutely people will get to understand the LSB, what its purpose is, you know, not necessarily be so robotic, but put some life into it and say, okay, you do this when you're not at WPFW. And just so that people know who we are.
Gotcha.
So that they get a sense. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Now we are at the mask section of the meeting. What I want to do, is to begin by, considering the motion, offered by Irene. That is a pretty comprehensive, summation of, the issues, around the process. So Irene, I'm going to ask you to, if you have a copy nearby, can you read out, the motion? We will, debate that for a discrete amount of time, and then we will vote on, the first step will be, we will vote on that as the process.
Sure.
Okay.
Whereas the chair of the WPFW LSB has unilaterally changed the process to which the LSB delegates would be seated on the mass following protracted discussion and agreement during the previous LSB meeting, and whereas the LSB agreed that the number will not exceed 11 and that interested parties were to submit their interests to a committee of three that consisted of the incoming chair, the outgoing chair, and the secretary via email, and whereas the LSB discussed at length during the December 13, 2023 meeting, a process by which the LSB would seat the mass committee and the number of LSB delegates to be included. And whereas the LSB agreed during the meeting that if more than 11 expressed interest, then the LSB would hold elections to whittle the number down to 11 in a special meeting. And whereas the discussion and meeting ended without any objections to this process, and whereas there were prospective delegates who followed these instructions and provided self-nominations within the time frame provided, and whereas certain LSB delegates commenced to submit slates of nominations without verifying the interest of the nominees on their slate, and whereas the delegates' practice of submitting slates coupled with the LSB chair's unilaterally post-meeting actions to cancel the special meeting, I forgot that, have effectively resulted in other potential nominees not being able to participate because of the pre-existing number of slate nominees and self-nominees. And whereas the Pacifica bylaws do not address how the committee is to be seated, but only the timeline and the number of members, be it therefore resolved that the WPFW LSB move forward in the mass nominating process using the procedures that were agreed upon during the December 13, 2023 meeting, specifically that delegates individually expressing their interest in serving via email addressed to it, address the incoming chair, the outgoing chair, and the secretary. Do I need to say anything else? Do I need to add things?
You're muted, Dennis. Chair. You're muted.
Sorry. You're good. Is there a second?
Yes, Ms. Chair, I second
the motion.
Okay, we got a third. Irina, I'm going to come back to you for the last word on this discussion. I'm going to first ask, is there anyone who is in opposition? Anyone opposed to this motion?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to recognize you as the first speaker in opposition. Vanessa, 90 seconds.
Okay. So to set the record straight for the umpteenth time, there was no slate. The motion, the whereas is referred to me having followed bylaws, which are the rules when, I'm sorry, having followed Robert's rules, which is the rule when the bylaws are silent. It is allowable and for a person to nominate themselves and others. There was no slate. It's up to me and the other people to determine if there was a slate, and that word keeps being used is though one, slates are horrible. There are people who are seated on this LSP now, new delegates who ran as a slate. So there's nothing wrong with that, but for the sake of being factual, there was no slate. So my understanding of the process was reflected in the minutes that Ellen distributed, that we could just submit nominations. There was nothing explicit about it being limited only to a self-nomination, and so the rules were followed. If they want to revert back to a or follow a process that we never agreed upon, that's fine, but it was not agreed upon at that meeting.
Thank you. Okay, I want to have the next speaker in support of the motion. What I have in order is Adele, Wayne, and Minerva. Whichever of the first of you are in support of the motion can go next.
I need clarification. I'm neither in support or opposition.
Okay.
I don't understand what the outcome of a yes vote or a no vote would be.
Irene, why don't you explain what you would want as a yes outcome?
I was on mute. The slate of from the slate of individuals, those individuals who had not, we did not receive an email that the committee of three did not receive a email from to one express their interest should not be counted in the 14. And that this may be a moot point. Because it may not be 14. It may well be 11 people already.
One clarification. Everyone did send in an email of confirmation whether or not they were included in the email that had a list of names.
So the email from Vanessa was incorrect when she sent it to me, when she said that everyone did not.
So everyone, as I've said repeatedly in the emails, everyone on that list has emailed and confirmed their intention.
And was
whether or not it happened before or after her email, everyone has done that.
Were they within the timeline provided? Because we asked for the three members asked you for that information, and that request went ignored.
They all sent emails to those to at least to me and Minerva.
Minerva, can we get that confirmed that everyone received the email?
Okay, yeah. And Dennis. I have to share that every person that I received an email confirmation from, I put a check mark by their names. There were three individuals that I do not have check marks for, so they did not confirm to me. But
Okay.
Let me just go ahead and may I go ahead and speak to the motion? Because yes. The statement was made that there was that this was not agreed to. And that's why everyone was referred to the recording of the minutes, because we did go through and we listed that everyone who had an interest to please nominate yourselves, and that once the names were received, then a meeting would be called to discuss and start putting together the information for the committee to be able to bring to the board for this meeting. And it was asked, and it's on the recording, are there any concerns, any questions? And per the minutes, it says it was unanimous. Nobody argued, no one anything. And also the statement that third-party nominations is standard, it is not. I also share that third-party nominations right now, there is another group, it's with the PNB, because someone self-nominated themselves to be on the PNB, and they're not being allowed to be on the board unless they're on any type of voting, unless they write their name in. They can't be on the ballot because their whole message was, we follow Pacifica bylaws. So there's nowhere in the bylaws. And when we did the math and pulled the information from the bylaws, it didn't say that you could do third party. So that is, you know, it's just like we're going back even now, redoing something that we took 30 or plus minutes to do in the December meeting. But I'm going to leave it up to the group, whatever's decided. But I just think we need to stop if something doesn't look the way we want it to look. And also even to make a statement that these are people that I feel. Nobody asked me how I felt, because I could have done the same thing, but I didn't do that. I was trying to follow something and do an orderly thing. So I'll stop speaking now.
Kamau, can you get back on the timer for me?
Absolutely.
Adele, was your...
90? Is it 90? I'm sorry.
Yeah, 90. Yes, 90 seconds. Adele, I don't know if your question was answered.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Okay. Wayne.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say a couple things about the motion. The use of the word slate is kind of disturbing, because a slate implies that everybody got together and those people are running together and they are like-minded people and they're running together and they have an agenda. I would, you know, ask that word be taken out of this motion. Also, I don't see anything in the minutes about emailing. And I do believe you stated, please contact us if you are interested. So I believe that could be either by phone or email. That's kind of what I say. I think the use of the word is inflammatory. Just it's inflammatory motion as stated. And that's it. That's what I have to say.
I do believe that the term email is on the recording somewhere
I'm
in the
looking at the minutes though. I'm looking at the minutes, Chair.
Okay, but I'm talking about what actually happened.
Okay.
I can't speak for Irene, but I think at this point it's pointless to edit that language of the motion. You know, the sentiments have been shared for and against the term. So do with it what you will. Mr. Byfield and then Mr. Lane, and then perhaps we can move to a vote after Irene has the last word. Michael. I can't hear you, Michael.
He's frozen.
right. Ambrose, you go.
Oh, yes. I have a point of clarification. And mm-hmm. I'm going to ask your forgiveness after a year of advocating on the opioid crisis. I took the month of December off. So can someone share with me nominations to what we're talking about, voting about what?
This is to revive the Management Assessment and Selection Committee, the group that will take the lead in screening candidates for new candidates for the general manager position. That is one of the LSB duties, is to provide a list of candidates or a candidate, our recommendations to the executive director for hiring a general manager.
Okay. I did get that email. I realized that I was nominated. And I did express that I was interested in serving on that committee.
Okay. Thank you. Michael, can you speak? Okay. Irene, last word and then we vote.
This isn't about who's sitting on the committee. I really don't care. I just have a problem. If we agree on a process, then that's the process we should use. We didn't hold that special meeting that was supposed to happen. This shouldn't even be on this agenda, because we were supposed to have a special meeting to iron all this out and hash this out. We should have been seating that committee at this meeting and not discussing back and forth anything about how they were nominated. I'm referencing the recordings of the minutes, which was the actual events, the actual words being used in the minutes when I wrote this motion. So therefore, if you go back and listen, you will hear it said that an email to Dennis, Minerva, and Ellen would be the way that would be the way of the nominating process. We can't allow unilateral changes to our process, because we're trying to learn these processes and get them down so that we don't have to go back and reinvent the wheel every time we
need. 10 seconds.
The LSB requested copies of emails and we didn't get them. I noticed that, but also I'm going to provide a citation from Robert Rules that directly conflicts with what Vanessa said, and it's called general consent. Everyone agreed to that process by general consent. That means that no one opposed it before the meeting closed. So that would be Robert Rule, Article 8. When we're quoting these things, when we're quoting the bylaws, when we're quoting Robert Rules, then we should be ready. We had time enough to look it up and provide the citation so that everybody could see what it says. You can go to Robert Rules, Article 8, and you'll see about voting. There's nothing, and you can search, and you will not see how to seat a committee. There's nothing there. It tells how the committee operates, but it doesn't tell how to seat the committee. And that's it.
Okay. Chair, point of personal privilege, if I may.
No. We are calling.
The name getting thrown in.
We're moving to
that. I provided wrong information.
You're not recording. You're not being recognized, Vanessa. We're going to the vote.
So be it.
I don't want to, read that's the whole, why don't you just, Irene, read the therefore, paragraph one more time, and then Ellen, please prepare to call the roll.
Okay. I've moved from the, I thought I was done with it, Dennis.
Okay. I have it here. Okay. Be it therefore resolved that the WPFW LSB move forward to in the MASC nominating process using the procedures that were agreed upon during the December 13th, 2023 meeting. Specifically, the delegates individually expressed their interest in serving via email addressed to incoming chair, outgoing chair, and the secretary.
Yeah.
A yes vote means we will use that procedure. A no vote means that we will hold an election tonight.
Point of information, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If this motion passes,
yes,
all we're doing is accepting what was decided upon at the original meeting on the 13th, yes. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, my question is utilizing the original procedure that was accepted by the board, is that going to eliminate candidates?
Yes, it will be 11. We have a maximum of 11.
I know, but what I'm saying is, well, some can't, some people who have expressed interest, or is this just going to eliminate those who have not verified?
All 14 have verified interest. All 14 cannot serve.
Okay, I understand that. But, yeah. But Irene is saying that three of those candidates, or Minerva was saying that three of the candidates did not. So I was just trying to clear that up.
Right. What we would have to do is that Minerva and I would have to compare notes to see which 11 in which order emailed both of us.
Well, if that's the case, that would it be appropriate to have a vote tonight if those three candidates are left on or taken off the ballot?
Well, if we approve this method, then that's what it'll be, and the resolution will be Minerva and I will review those names. And that will reveal the 11 names.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Minerva?
Yes, Dennis. And I think I had sent out some information because it's already been said that when this was done previously, there were individuals who stepped away from the process, so you had to have other people come on. And I look at this process with 14 people being the same as Kamal talked about his relocation committee, that people, I called it alternates, and you said we don't have alternates, but it would be to ask those individuals, would they be willing to, in essence, they wouldn't vote on who the names are that would go forward, but they would be able to take part in the activity of the mass. So, if that's something that I would offer, would be the next thing that could be done. But I don't feel like anyone could be left out. But also at the same time, if we agreed on a certain number, we just need to have those individuals who would do the part of the voting and the others can have input. But like I said, somebody may drop off and not want to be on it.
Okay. All right. Tell you what. Let me offer this as a suggestion at this moment. Irene, see if this is suitable to you, and then we can see if it's suitable to the body. Suppose that we, for now, move forward with the 14 people as part of the group. Minerva and I will determine by tomorrow which 11, by sort of chronological order, according to the process, will be the voting members.
That's acceptable to me.
Is there any opposition to that approach? And then we can just, we can leave it at that and move on.
But with one caveat, Dennis, that this special meeting be scheduled so that we could seat this committee, because this committee, time's a waste.
I don't think that we would need a special meeting to seat the committee. It would be these 14 people, who would gather. We would let, Minerva and I would jointly let the entire board know. Well, we know who the 14 people are. We will let everybody know who the 11 voting members are. As a further caveat, what I would do, I would ask, the vice chair, Wayne Bruce, just to, organize to convene the first meeting of the group. At that point, the group can identify its own leadership and all of that. But we would have the body. And we would just confirm to you who are the voting members and who are the alternates.
One quick question, yes. Mr. Chair. One quick question.
Yep.
Those 14 candidates, are they going to be selected in chronological order? I mean, in terms of, well, somebody made their, you know, commitment on the first, somebody made theirs on the second, somebody made theirs on the third.
Yes, that's okay, how we will determine the 11. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay. Is there any objection to that approach? Wonderful. See how easy that is? Thank you, people. Minerva, we should make some time tomorrow to compare
our emails. We will do it. Okay.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
There is a motion.
And let me special thanks to former board member, faithful community member Eileen Rosen, and new board member Mariah McLean, who did spend a good bit of time researching how to hold the election if we were going to have an election. So back to CSE, right.
Okay. Dennis, yeah. Real quick, I think someone said there is a motion on the floor.
There's a motion on the floor.
Yeah, we dismissed the motion.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the by general agreement, before we actually called the vote, and it was accepted by the motionizer.
You got it.
Chairman? Sarah?
Yes.
May I be recognized?
Yes.
I can see mischief brewing in the clouds here, and I would request, and you can certainly turn me down, but that you get an actual vote on what you've decided on so that there's no mischief. If you understand what I mean. In other words, I'd like to see this get locked in so next meeting we don't have objections and I wasn't here, I didn't see it, I was asleep, whatever.
Okay. I'm going to, again, for the recording and the minutes, are there any objections to this accommodation?
Can you make that as a motion? I think it would be more appropriate as a motion, and we already know that that is unanimously approved, but for the record.
Okay. I move, and this supersedes, by consent, the original motion that was on the floor, that we, take the 14 names that, have been circulated as the MASC candidates, to include all 14 of those as committee members. The 11 voting members will be determined by Minerva Sanders and myself on the basis of the order in which we both received their email commitments to serve.
My motion.
What'd you say?
I second the motion.
Okay. And is there any objections? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Mr. Tatum, and then we have to get to the CSE.
The matter for me has been cleared up. I just think the members wanted to hear the motion fully spelled out, but unanimous consent is appropriate. General consent is appropriate. And you gave them both, so that's fine.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mr. Curtis, did everybody receive a copy of the rules that were resent this week?
Eileen, are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
Bill, you want to introduce what's going to happen?
Well, Eileen is going to talk about the rules of conduct, standing rules of conduct that was approved about a year and a half ago in 2020, seminar, and I'll piggyback on her presentation.
Okay.
As we discuss. Is that okay, Irene?
Yes. Yes. Okay. The idea is we're going to review the governing rules for the meetings that the LSB has previously approved. Go ahead, Eileen.
Okay. I think, as mentioned, you all should have received a copy of the special rules of conduct for business meetings for WPFW. And these were drawn up, as Bill mentioned, 3 years ago, because some of the meetings were...